Hi, this is Maureen Milliken.
And this is Rebecca Milliken, and this is Groovy Too.
The Crimes of the Brady Bunch.
Yes.
And this is our episode 29. And it's Brady Bunch season five.
Episode 18,
Yeah.
Two Peats in a Pod. This is one I'm sure we all remember. I don't
We
know
do.
if
And I always had a special affinity for the Pete ones, the Christopher Knight
like
ones. He was
Pete.
my favorite character.
Although Christopher Knight mentioned, because I listened to the Real Brady Bros podcast on this episode, and I kind of agree with him. He thought that this almost seemed like an episode that would have been written for Greg more than Peter, just because of how Peter's like all. Peter isn't usually the type that's asking girls out and
Playing the
stuff. So,
ladies. Well,
yeah.
maybe the writers decided that it was time. There's very little background that I can find written about this, but maybe the writers decided, hey, it's time to give Pete some. And also just the goofiness
I
of
know
what
it is. It's
happens.
funny. Chris Knight also said it was one of his favorite, in memory, was one of his favorite to film. But then he said, rewatching it for some reason now, it's not one of
Probably
his
does.
favorite. I don't know why.
One thing in its favor is we're getting a lot of recycled scripts and plots, and this is fairly fresh.
Yes,
And it
although.
does, right, it does showcase his goofiness.
The first scene is Fillmore Junior High. We're in the hallway. Peter is bugging this girl while she's taking a drink from the water fountain. He's desperate to go to this costume party. And she seems kind of reluctant. Her name is Michelle. At first, she says she has another date, but then she says, okay, I'll go with you.
He does mention that he's been like asking her to go out with him all semester and she's always saying no and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is a typical guy who will not take no for an answer.
Yes.
And he finally wears her down. So she's like, yeah, okay, I'll go out with you for God's sake.
Yes. Kind of
Almost
stalkerish.
stalkerish. Yeah.
He's just, I wrote, he's agog.
Yeah.
But he's just like, ugh, and he's so excited. And he runs down the hall and he rounds the corner and he bumps into another guy. And they drop their books. They pick up their books and stand up and they are look at each other and they are shocked to find out they look exactly alike.
Right down to the bad hairdo.
Exactly. I know, right down to the weird frizzy hair. This guy's name is Arthur Owens. And Pete says, how come we've never met?
And
And
the
Arthur.
only difference is that Arthur is wearing some very dorky
Oh,
glasses.
yes, he's got glasses
That's how
on.
you tell them apart.
Yes. Arthur says he just transferred there yesterday. And you're telling me that nobody mentioned to Pete, geez, I saw this new kid
Who
and
look
he
just
looks
like you,
exactly like
down to
you.
your haircut.
It's like that documentary with the triplets, where they
Right.
went to the same college in
Right.
Cobleskill.
I remember watching this as I would have been 12 or 13 year old at the time and being so kind of bugged, like, okay, how did they film this and make this work? That
Split screen
maybe
thing.
that's just how my and it, when I was a kid, I knew that they had a way to do it, but it was just like that's like all I could think about, basically.
They did do a good job with that. It
It
wasn't
did. It
too, it
didn't look
wasn't.
fake. It did
No,
not
it
look
wasn't too
fake.
fake. The one thing I will say is evil twin or twin stories, especially when they can't be adequately explained that people look exactly alike, that have no, DNA in common, bug the shit out of me
Me too.
even more. No, not even more, but almost as much as time travel stories, which I
Yeah, me
hate.
too.
But I still didn't mind this one. I was able to suspend my disbelief,
I
I guess, for
have
this one.
some notes that I'll discuss as we go on.
Okay. Arthur says they're going to drive the teachers nuts. Peter asks Arthur if he's free after school so they can prank his family. Arthur wonders if they can, but Pete thinks it would be fun to find out. Peter's
And
like, my family's a bunch of idiots, so it won't
right,
be fun.
and maybe this is just Pete being Pete. I guess it's a good idea, although I'm not a big prank person and I kind of don't see the point of pranks, but it's all idea, no thought to execution,
I
which
know.
plays a huge part in everything that happens in
Exactly.
this. But it's a chance for Brady trickery, which
Yeah,
we have not
well, they can
seen.
never pass that up. Now we're at the Brady house in the family room. Bobby and Cindy are playing checkers while Oliver watches. And Oliver is wordlessly helping Cindy. Like he'll shake
Yes.
his head. I think Bobby knows he's doing it, but doesn't seem to care. Pete looks through the window at them And then he smiles and looks back behind, you know, behind his, over his shoulder. He goes back to the carport where Arthur is waiting. Pete briefs Arthur on the people, on the relationships, etc.
Certainly not enough, though.
I know. Peter says, go in and see if you can fool them and then come back. Arthur takes off his glasses and pats his hair like he needs to. And he goes in. Cindy wins the checker game thanks to Oliver's coaching, and Bobby objects to it. Mm-hmm. Alice comes to the pass-through, and Arthur comes in through the sliding doors. Bobby asks him if he wants to play the winner, and Arthur says checkers is a drag. And Bobby says, but you're a checkers freak. And Alice interrupts to ask Peter, or Arthur, she thinks he's Peter, to do something in the kitchen.
And see, this is where a little more, I mean, like, Pete could not anticipate everything that was going to happen in the house. And obviously they didn't think this through at all, but at least they should have agreed, although there wouldn't have been a storyline. Don't really respond. Just be neutral about everything.
Well, Arthur needs to go with the flow a little bit, too.
Yeah, he's not very good at going with the flow.
Like, instead of being like, oh, checkers is a drag, he could have just
said, oh, not now, kids.
Not now, or something.
Yeah.
So the real Peter seems to be watching from the carport, but I don't know exactly what he
how he can see.
Well, I guess you can see. I mean, the way I imagine, they have those sliding doors on the family room and the kitchen, so maybe he can see in. I don't know. Alice has a flavor favor. She wants Peter, who she thinks is Peter, to sample the lemon pie. Mm-hmm. He says he prefers cherry. And Alice says, but cherry makes you break out in hives. And Arthur says, oh, yeah. And he says, he'll live dangerously. And he takes a slice of cherry. Alice goes to the laundry room while Arthur goes over to the window and shows his slice of pie to Peter, who gives him the okay.
Obviously, both of them have like the memory of a coconut.
Yeah.
Because later when the pie thing comes up, Pete apparently has no memory at all that he sat there and watched Arthur eating.
I know. Greg and Marcia come in from the living room. They're like, Larry wants us to come over for a swim. And Pete or Arthur says, I don't swim. And Greg is like, what the fuck? You're a great swimmer. He could have said, no, I don't feel like it.
Right. Like, exactly. Just like the checkers thing. Don't offer any opinions.
Greg says, you're a great swimmer. And I'll call him Faux Pete. Faux Pete says, it's not when I don't feel like it. And then he calls Marcia Jan. And the look on her face is like, he called her, you stupid, ugly bitch. I mean, the look on her face is like, oh my God.
She's so insulted.
Greg says Pete's brain is waterlogged. And Marcia laughs. And then they come out of the house. And the real Peter sees them coming from the carport. And I guess they don't see him standing there. And Peter overhears Greg say, Pete's acting strange. Wouldn't you think, is Pete high or something? That's what I would think. You know, it's the 70s, as if he wasn't smoking dope.
And also, he's such a doofus most of the time anyways. I'm surprised they even noticed.
I know. And then we're back in the kitchen. Jan comes in. And, okay, isn't she in the same school? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't she have seen Arthur?
Maybe not. It's a big school. You know, those California schools have tons of students.
But you think somebody would say, hey, there's a guy that looks just like your
brother. Possibly, unless the people thought the guy was Pete because they didn't see him together. He's only been there a day.
I know. And she says to him, you promised to help me with my algebra. And he says, wow, you sure are pretty. And she's like, cut the crap and let's work on my homework now. And he says, I'll help you anytime.
And also, since when is Pete better at algebra?
I know.
Since
when's Pete
Jan?
Good at school? And Jan is oblivious. She's just like, you've changed. You're acting weird. In the living room, the phone rings and Carol runs to answer. It's
and she
Mr.
goes,
Phillips.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Where's Alice? Mike walks in the front door as she's talking on the phone and he takes the phone. Mike is talking. And he's like, Peter is 15 and it shouldn't be a problem. And he's like, I'll ask him right now. And he yells into the kitchen. He doesn't put down the phone and go in there. He's just like yelling. And he's like, Peter. And Arthur's like, huh? And he's like gazing at Jan.
Right.
And Jan says, Peter, Dad is calling you. And Mike asks Peter if he can entertain Mr. Phillips' niece Friday night. And Arthur says, yeah, I guess so. I guess it's all right.
Arthur should have, although again, we wouldn't have a pot, said, wait, I might have something going on. I'll get back to you in a few minutes. I got to check.
And the other thing is, even though, again, like you said, we wouldn't have a plot, Why wouldn't Mr. Phillips say, do you think your daughters can go to the movies with my niece or something? Or do you think
Right.
your daughters
Why
would
set her
like
up on a
to,
date?
I know,
Right.
do you think your daughters would like to
And
entertain my
it is
niece?
always the despotic Mr. Phillips
I
when he
know.
wants something that has
Yeah, you
nothing to
better
do with
do it.
work.
You
Mike's
better
got to
do it.
jump.
Jan tells Arthur he's sure a new Peter Brady and leaves as Arthur looks after her longingly. The real Pete is smiling from the carport. How again he can see through the walls, I don't know. He beckons to Arthur, who comes out the slider. Arthur tells Pete it worked fantastic. He fooled them all, even Mike. He says, next time, let's try it out on his family.
And why at this point do they not have a debriefing
No
where Arthur
shit.
says, okay, I ate cherry pie. You saw me eating? I was eating cherry pie.
Yes,
I
exactly.
told your dad I'd go on a date with this girl. I'm
Yes.
helping Jan with her algebra homework, blah, blah, blah. Why doesn't he say
Yes,
any of
I
that?
know. Peter agrees with him, and then Arthur leaves, and Pete heads in. The family room, Bobby and Cindy are still playing with Oliver watching. Pete says he can play the winner. Oliver says, you said checkers was a drag. Pete says, well, I just undragged it. Bobby says, Pete's not a checkers freak. He's a freaky freak. Then Pete heads into the kitchen. He goes to get a slice of pie. Alice comes in and tells him one piece is enough before dinner. And I'm like, really? Who's fucking paying Alice? Is she in charge? Is she the
Right.
boss of him? Peter says he'll only have one then. Alice says he already did, and he better not blame her if he gets a rash. And Peter is confused.
Maybe he didn't realize Arthur was eating cherry pie earlier, but he watched fucking Arthur eating pie, so can't he put two and two together?
I know. I know.
I mean, he doesn't even seem to know he was watching Arthur
I
eating
know.
pie.
Although he does catch on and says, oh, yeah, I'm kind of itchy. And Alex says, did you change your shirt?
Yeah, at
And
least
he's
she
like,
noticed.
no, that's because she has to wash his clothes. Jan comes in and thanks him for the help he was about to give her on her composition. Peter's like, I'm not going to help you.
Right, and wasn't it algebra?
Yeah, but then he must have agreed after the algebra that he was going to
Right.
help her with her composition.
Right.
She left the room to get her composition and she's going to bring it
Right, and
back.
I always thought she was a really good student and he was a bad student.
Why would he help her with the composition?
I know.
Although he did write that one about George Washington a couple episodes ago. And Jan's like, I knew it wouldn't last. And once she leaves, Peter grabs the lemon pie, which I would have done too. In the living room, Mike is saying he's the master of ceremonies at some banquet honoring Mr. Phillips. But he's also in charge of buying a gift. And it's like, what are secretaries for?
I know.
Why would Mike have to buy a gift so he can kiss Mr. Phillips' ass even more?
Yes.
Carol knows exactly what he should get, something of exquisite taste that he absolutely loves and can really use. And Mike's like, oh, yeah, what is it? And Carol's like, she'll leave the details up to Mike. Peter comes in eating pie. Mike says, Peter, that was very nice of you, and I appreciate it. Peter says, okay, but then asks, what? What did I do? And Mike says, agreeing to entertain Pamela for the night. Pete's like, who the fuck is Pamela? And Mike says, Mr. Phillips' niece? You agreed to, and Pete's like, I did this Friday night. And Mike looks annoyed. And Carol says, are you all right?
We can't disappoint Mr. Phillips. For
No,
God's sake,
God
Mike will
forbid.
get
I
fired.
know. I know. Pete says, yeah, but I have a date Friday night. And Mike says, why didn't you say that before? And Pete says, I wasn't exactly myself before. Carol says, you said you'd do it. You have to. You can't disappoint Mr. Phillips.
I said,
Oh,
you
God
can't
forbid.
disappoint Mr.
Pete's
Phillips.
like, I've been trying to get with Michelle for 6 months. Carol says, she'll understand. And Mike says, switch it. And he's like, snaps his newspaper. And we're in the family room. I think it's the family room. It's hard to tell. I thought it was the boys' room, but
It's the
there's no
family.
phone.
No, it's the family room.
Pete's calling someone, and he did look up the number before he called. It's Arthur. Arthur says, oh, I forgot to tell you about something about the date. And Pete says, no shit. Now I've got two dates. And he's in a spot. And it comes to Peter that Arthur can keep the date with Pamela since he made it.
And that's the
Arthur,
first thing I would have thought of.
I
Hey, we
know.
look alike. And
She
like,
wouldn't know what he
Pamela's
looked
not
like
even gonna
anyways.
know,
I
right?
know. Arthur is not so sure about it, but he agrees. Pete says, I'll handle all the details and tells Arthur to wear the same thing as him, jeans and a white t-shirt. Arthur says he hopes nothing will go wrong. And Pete says, what could go wrong? And Peter hangs up and says, Peter Brady, you're some kind of genius.
Tuh.
Yeah, some kind. We're in the family room. Allison, Carol, and Greg are sitting at the table. And Mike tells them the banquet is a roast. So he has to insult Mr. Phillips.
As if Mr. Phillips is going to like that.
Alice is worried that he'll get fired.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
Carol says, oh, no, Mr. Phillips has a great sense of humor.
Since when?
He does? I don't think so. Greg says, sure, that's why he hired an architect like Dan. And then and when Greg says this, he and Carol laugh.
This is a funny scene, actually.
Mike says, it's a roast for Mr. Phillips, not him. And Mike's first joke is that the first building Mr. Phillips designed was so shaky that the termites had to hold hands to keep it from collapsing. Alice thinks it's super
uproariously
funny. Carol gives Alice a dirty look, like, how dare you laugh at that joke? It's so bad. And Carol and Greg clearly don't think that joke is funny. I thought it was silly.
It was silly. Yeah.
I didn't think it was unfunny. Then Mike says the walls were so thin, if you stripped off the wallpaper, you'd be in the next room. And Alice, again, thinks it's really funny.
I feel like this scene, in a way, is another Lloyd Schwartz shot at Rob Reed, because he mentions in his book that Rob Reed had absolutely no sense of humor, couldn't do comic acting, didn't understand humor, and was not funny, which I disagree with in some ways.
I think he's full of shit, because I think he does do a good job.
I think his hatred of Robert Reed, just he makes a lot of observations that I don't think seem to hold up.
Every time Alice laughs, Carol looks at her like she's crazy. It's not just...
Alice does think these jokes are much funnier.
Alice says, you're as funny as Bob Hope and Milton Berle. And Carol says, he ought to be. Those are their jokes. If they really were their jokes. Then...
And both Carol and Greg think that's hilarious. Yes, they both crack up.
And Mike says he should take his material on the road after the banquet. Carol says, no, you should hit the road before the banquet. And she and Greg laugh and laugh. And Mike looks very sad, and then he leaves.
Mm, poor Mike.
And Carol and Greg don't seem to give a shit.
No.
Now we're in the girls' room. Marcia is brushing her hair and gazing at herself in the mirror.
Mm.
Peter comes in. He butters Marcia up. He wants to pay for her to take all the other kids to a movie. Marcia says, no thanks. She and Greg both have dates, so they won't butt in on his date with Pamela. Like, why can't he bring Pamela somewhere?
I know. Right.
And there's this really weird, I took a photo of it because I watch on a projected, my DVD player is like a little projector. There's this weird hippo dog animal thing on the wall behind them. I cannot figure out what it is. I'll have to send you.
I'll have to look at it on my DVD. You don't have to send it to me. I can look at it on my DVD.
It's like a cutout, like stuck to the wall, but I could not tell what kind of animal it was supposed to be. I don't know. It was distracting me in this scene. Jan comes in and agrees to take the kids to a movie as long as Pete is really paying. And we're in the backyard now, and the younger kids, as Oliver and Cindy and Bobby, refuse to go to the movie unless Peter gets popcorn with butter. Oh, and they need something to wash it down. Okay, Peter says, I'll spring for ice cream too. And Bobby's like, oh, I meant soda, but ice cream too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Peter says, compared to them, Jesse James was a choir boy.
And I don't get the reference, because Jesse James was not like an extortionist.
I know, that's what I thought too.
He shot people. So it was a weird reference.
Well, they only know Jesse James and Benedict Arnold.
I know. At least he didn't say Benedict Arnold.
Pete is paying quite a bit. Even back then, movie theater prices were high for stuff like popcorn. Remember, we used to go to McCrory's before the theater
and get candy and stuff.
Now we're in the kitchen. Peter and Alice are taking inventory of all the food in the refrigerator. Peter says it should be enough for a light snack. Alice fakes grabbing him by the throat. Did you notice that? She like,
yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, they have quite a bit of food. Every time I'm watching the show, I get hungry.
I get hungry. Me too.
If I had Alice in my house, I would be hugely fat. More than I am now. Alice says, if you and Pamela need me, I'll be in my room watching the early show, the late show, and whatever comes in between. And Alice, you know, she has, it's not a bad gig. She does have to be on It seems like she's always
24
on
hour
duty,
call. Yeah.
but she has her own little room back there. She must have her own bathroom, I'm assuming,
I
unless
would
she has to
hope.
pee in the laundry room or
Right.
something. Mike and Carol come downstairs. They're all dressed up and they're carrying this huge wrapped gift. It's like, what the fuck are they giving Mr. Phillip?
We never find out.
Mike calls Peter into the living room. Carol says, aren't you going to change? Because he's wearing a t-shirt and jeans. It's like, why? Where is he bringing Pamela? Pamela will be here any minute. I don't know what's wrong with him. He looks fine to me. And Mike says, have a nice time. And Pete says, I know I will. I hope Pamela does too. And then he gives a weird laugh. And Mike and Carol both look at him like he's weird. As they leave, Peter looks after them, laughing. And he's laughing kind of weirdly. He's
Yeah,
like,
it's yeah.
it must be a few minutes later. The doorbell rings. Peter opens the front door and it's Pamela. She looks familiar, doesn't she?
Yes, and that is because the actor is Denise Nickerson, who played Violet on the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory movie.
Yes. And it's funny, when I was a kid, I didn't recognize her as
I don't
Violet.
remember if I did or not, but she looks a
But
lot different than Violet
yeah, but
did.
she's cute.
She is
She's
cute.
cute. Pete says, do you want to listen to some records? And she says, sure. And the phone rings as they're headed back to the family room. So Pete gives her directions and goes to get the phone. And it's Arthur. He's at home still. He can't leave his little sister until his parents get home. And Pete's like, hurry up. I have to pick up Michelle in a half an hour. And Peter says he'll call Michelle and stall her. But as he picks up the phone to call her, the doorbell rings. He answers it, and it's Michelle. And he slams the door in her face. But
Right.
then he immediately opens it up again. And I don't exactly know what her costume is. It looks like some kind of milkmaid type costume. She's got like
Yeah.
little pantaloons and it's
Yeah,
like
I
a
kind of
bodice and
like
she's got a
little
little
Bo,
bonnet.
like
Oh, maybe it's a
maybe
little Bo
sexy
Peep.
little Bo Peep,
Yeah, so it's
possibly.
interesting. It's a parasol too.
Right. Didn't little Bo Peep have a parasol?
I don't know. I guess
My
so.
thought is now we're in store for several minutes of tedium as Pete
Yes.
tries to play off the
Yes.
two different girls.
Well, it's supposed to be like that noise is off, or one of those plays where
Yeah, I never like that shit.
farcical.
I'm
There
not
was a
good at
Frasier
that.
that was really funny that was like that, though, once.
Maybe, I
And she's like, what the fuck? And he's like, what are you doing here? And she
don't
said her brother dropped her off to save him a trip. And also, was he going to walk to pick her up? He can't
I
drive
know,
yet.
that's what I was thinking. And I was also thinking, gee, if only cell phones had been invented, but.
She asks, where is his costume? And he says he'll go put it on. And he closes the door in her face again. She pounds on the door again and she makes him let her in. He takes his costume out of the front closet and tells her he'll go put it on and she can watch TV. He makes her sit with her back to the kitchen.
Yeah.
He tells her there's a great movie on TV and turns it on. And she immediately starts watching.
And
And
it's
it sounds like,
apparently Romeo and Juliet
yes, that's what I was going to say, because
because
it's
it's
A Time for Us is
right, the
playing.
theme for Romeo and
And
Juliet is
they're in a
playing.
lawsuit right now, still, the actors from that movie,
Well, I don't blame them.
because of nude, they were
Yeah.
underage. He runs out through the kitchen, stows his costume in the coat closet. Why he does that, I don't know. He could just leave it there.
Well, maybe because if she wanders into the kitchen, he doesn't want her to see it.
Oh, that's true. And he comes into the family room and he apologizes to Pamela, but then he closes the shutters going, there's shutters on the pass through. I don't
Right.
think we've seen, but we might have seen
I
them
think
once
we've
or
seen him
twice before.
before, yeah.
She's like, what are you doing? And he says, he needs to shut out the draft. He's just getting over a cold. And then he starts coughing. And then he puts this record on that's like that generic rock music they always play, like ding, 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 ding,
Right.
ding. And he's like, how's that? And Pamela says, super, let's dance. And she gets up and immediately starts dancing. Like, as soon as she stands up, it's like, they both start like,
Right.
and Pete grabs his knee and says he has a football injury, or he says his football injury is acting up. He has to go look at it. And Pamela wants to help. And Pete says, no, I just met you. I can't let you look at my naked knee. And he runs out and he goes into the kitchen. Then he starts putting on his vampire
And
outfit.
this is not sustainable for him. This whole thing with the two girls and going back and forth and changing into the costume and on, it's not, why does he even try? It's not going to work.
I know. It would have been better if, and I know this wouldn't have been a good plot, if he had just said, look, something happened and I'm accident, why don't you come to the costume party with us? Although he has tickets to the party, so I guess it wouldn't work.
And it wouldn't have been
Anyway,
a very good date for
yeah,
Michelle.
I know, but That's true. Back in the family room, Pamela picks up a magazine and gives a dirty look toward the kitchen. In the living room, Michelle is looking impatient while the theme of Romeo and Juliet plays from the TV. And then we've got these quick shots of Pete getting dressed, Pam reading the magazine, and she keeps looking up like she's pissed. Michelle's in the living room. Then they go to Pete, and then they go to Pamela. Right after Pete goes into the living room, Alice comes out to get something out of the refrigerator. In the living room, Pete comes from behind Michelle and says he wants to bite her leg. Does he say leg? Because he must have said, I want to bite your neck. It sounded like he said
yeah,
bite
he
your
said
leg,
neck. Because he's a awesome vampire now.
I know, I get that.
Just not randomly saying that.
Michelle says, you look great. Let's go. And Pete says, what's the hurry? He says he's going to get them something to drink. And Michelle looks annoyed. In the kitchen, Alice wonders what Peter is doing.
Mm.
He says, don't ask. And he needs a bottle of pop. Then he takes off his costume. And Pamela has had it. She calls to him and is about to go through the door when Pete pushes it from the other side. It's like a swinging door.
Mm.
So he kind of pushes her back in.
It's kind of like Three's Company.
Yes, and he's still taking his pants off. He's put some pants on over his jeans for his costume. She asks if he's okay, and he says he'll be right there. And he shoves his costume back in the broom closet. Then he goes back into the family room, but he still has the Dracula hair on.
Yeah.
And Pam is confused, and Pete says, I'm so funny. And Pete says he'll get her a cold drink, and then he runs out of the room, and she's like, what the fuck is going on? And then he goes back in the kitchen and puts his costume back on. Alice is peeking out and sees him doing this, and she looks very confused and perplexed.
And I'm totally bored out of my fucking mind by
I know.
This point.
Michelle does not want to miss the party. She's getting pissed. Just then the doorbell rings and it's Arthur. Peter tells him to take his glasses off and go through the back. Peter tells Michelle he's just got to go get the tickets to the party. You'd think he would have had them in his pocket already.
Right.
Whatever.
And he also should have said to Arthur, by the way, grab Pamela a drink because that's what she thinks I'm doing right now.
I know. Now we're back in the family room. Arthur comes in from the back and Pamela is confused. And he gives her some weird story and she doesn't care. He asks her to dance. And he just starts dancing. And she's like, what about your knee? Didn't you hurt it playing football? And Arthur says, what gave you that idea? And she doesn't seem to care. She's like, okay. And she just starts dancing. Mike and Carol come in through the back door. Mike forgot his notes for his speech.
Mm.
Arthur and Pam just keep dancing. He kind of like avoids looking at Mike. And it's really kind of weird.
Yeah.
Mike introduces himself and Carol. And they walk through to the living room. They see Michelle sitting in the living room watching TV. And Michelle tells them that she has a date with Peter tonight.
Hmm.
And they look very confused. And then Peter comes running down the stairs, but he stops short when he sees Mike and Carol. And they just like stares at them. And then he says he guesses he needs to explain. And like, wouldn't Mike and Carol be like, what in the actual fuck?
Right.
I just saw you in the family room.
Well, maybe that's what they're thinking, but they're in such shock that they don't express it.
In the living room, Carol is with the four kids and there's no Mike and there's no explanation. They could have just said, Dad had to go back.
Right.
I'm going to meet him later. We have to straighten this up, but he has to get back because Mr.
Right.
Phillips will have a fucking shit.
And my feeling on that was, and this would have been a classic Mike lecture moment.
Yes.
And
it would have.
Maybe they were having Rob Reed issues and he couldn't do the scene or something.
But it is kind of weird that there's no explanation as to why Mike isn't there.
No.
And maybe there had been it had been cut out. It's just weird. Anyway, so Carol's in there with the four kids. Peter doesn't see the harm. Arthur made the date, not him. And Carol says, but you tried to put one over on Pamela. And Pamela says she doesn't mind. She likes Arthur. And Michelle doesn't mind either. She's flattered Peter would go through so much trouble to keep their date. And Carol's like, okay.
Women.
No lecture time.
I know, because Mike isn't there. And it's disturbing that Michelle thinks it's cute and indication of Pete's affection for her rather than seeing the major red flags that this kind of behavior exhibits. But that's why women are in the place they're in,
well,
even
I'm
now
glad.
50 years later.
But the other thing that's kind of weird is not that we see much of the kids' other friends anymore. When they were younger, they showed their other friends more.
Right.
We have seen a couple like Bobby's friends, but like, I guess they couldn't sustain this look-alike friends, but they seem to be friends and then, you know, never see him again. Now, this is the tag. We're in the kitchen. Alice is making
And
breakfast.
have you noticed how that table is set for breakfast? Like they have complete place settings
Well,
for
Alice has got to
breakfast.
earn her keep. You know, she slacked off the night before watching
It's
TV all night
true.
while the kids were out. Carol comes in. Alice says, "Did you have a nice evening?" Carol says, "Oh, yeah, it was great. How about you?" And Alice says, "Peter's Dracula costume gave her a horrible dream. First, she was carried off by Dracula, then the Wolfman, then the Frankenstein monster." And Carol says, "Oh, that is horrible."
I saw what was coming here.
Alice says, "That's not the horrible part. Not one of them proposed."
Oh, poor
Oh, God, you
Alice.
mean you're not going to be married? Even
Like,
to a
even
fucking.
Frankenstein's monster didn't propose to her. Boy, she must really be a loser.
Alice, just come out of the closet.
Women.
It's much nicer out of the closet. I shouldn't say that
Are
because I'm not
you,
gay.
you know?
No, but if I could be, I would. If I
How
could
about
change
the
myself.
closet that paternalism keeps us in? You come out of it, you don't need a man,
Who
whether you're
wants to get
hetero or
married?
not.
Oh, fuck that, man.
Right,
God. People don't
Alice.
believe me when I say I have, and no, I don't want to get
No,
married
me
ever
neither.
again.
People don't believe me either. When I say I'm never, well, now I'm 62, but 20 years ago, I say, no, I'm never going to get married. And people, oh, don't say that, thinking I was saying it. Like, poor me. And I'm like, no, I mean, what I'm saying is, I'm never gonna get
I mean, I
married.
was married. And you know what? My husband was probably the best husband that
He
someone
was,
could ask
Gordon
for.
is awesome. Yeah.
And I didn't like being married. So I'm
Yeah.
sorry. It's
Yeah.
me.
We're
Maybe
supposed
there's
to.
something wrong with
It's
me.
okay for men to not like it, although they seem to
I'm
want
a
it.
bachelorette, a
I'm
lifelong
a MILF.
bachelorette. No,
No,
MILF.
actually, I'm
No,
not
because
because I'm not a mother.
you're not a mother, sorry, that you know of.
And there was very little in any of the books about this episode. We see Cousin Oliver, and as we mentioned in our last episode, they actually filmed this before
And that was
he'd
the
come
only scene he
aboard.
was in, wasn't
Right.
it? Yeah.
And so now you
Oh, and the one
almost
where they're on the
on the
swing set.
swing. So now you feel like the checkers and the swings. So now they're like, okay, we have this kid. We need to just stick him in scenes. And we'll see what happens in the remaining four episodes. But you feel like Rob Reed disappearing. We know that they were having more and more issues with him. It's just, you can just feel it beginning to go.
What can you do?
Next episode in 2 weeks is Top Secret. And what's that about?
Well, for some reason, Bobby and Oliver become convinced that Sam the Butcher is a spy, and I've missed Sam. He hasn't been on for a while,
I know, and
so.
I was just going to say that when Alice was lamenting that Frankenstein's monster didn't want to marry her, what happened to Sam?
I
But
know.
we'll see
So we'll get
him.
to see Sam next week.
Okay, well, that's it
Until
for
next
tonight.
week,
Thanks for listening.
and stay groovy.